Hey friends, before I start and play this episode of You Are Not Alone with the High Priestess of Brooklyn, I wanted to add something here because after this episode, Alex and I chatted for a while and she gave me, we scheduled it and she gave me a session of her MBA, which is her Magical Business Advisory. It's an intuitively led consultation for entrepreneurs who are ready to kind of take that to the next level and feel inspired and aligned. And I have to say, it was awesome. It seriously was awesome. And this is not planned. We got to talking after the episode and then we scheduled this MBA session. And it was really powerful. We talked for about an hour and a half. I'm sure I went way over my time. But she was able to pull cards for me in regards to certain things about my business. She made a beautiful chart about this podcast, You Are Not Alone. And she also had my birth chart from our last episode. So I'm just going to highly recommend her MBA program. Again, we did discuss it a little bit on the show that you're about to hear. But I just wanted to share with you that I had a session because it's pretty powerful. It was awesome. She's amazing. She has incredible energy. She has incredible knowledge. The cards she pulled for me were really powerful and it was a memorable experience. So I invite you to hit her website, High Priestess of Brooklyn. Check out her MBA Magical Business Advisory. I did it. I hope you'll do it. You won't be disappointed. It was really special, spectacular, and worth it. So tune in to this episode and hear us chat about all kinds of things. All right, and here it is. Well, hello, 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 beautiful friends. Welcome to You Are Not Alone. I have to say this is my favorite season. I know that like it would seem like I would say that like no matter what season I'm on, but this is actually my favorite season. I'm having such a wonderful time doing season three. I know you guys are following along with me. I'm so happy you're here. If you're new here, you are welcome. Literally everyone is welcome to be a part of this really awesome community, to be a part of this podcast. This podcast is for new spiritual seekers, old spiritual seekers, people that are just starting on some spiritual path, even people way far along on their path, or even if you just want to hear other people's stories and be entertained, you know, you are totally, totally welcome here. My goal is to really just illuminate really special, incredible people that are, you know, illuminaries and that they're doing things to shine a light on magic and others, on spirituality. You know, we're all special and we all have special gifts to offer. And I'm so excited that I get to highlight this type of person, healers and helpers and luminaries that are raising our consciousness, that are elevating our consciousness, that are assisting and serving in mental expansion and expanding our spirits. So this has just been so much fun. I've definitely been having the most fun for this in this season and hearing your guys' feedback and connecting with you guys. I really am blown away by how utterly positive this community is. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but as we all know, just being alive, you know, there is always light and dark to everything. But for whatever reason, this podcast has turned into all light and really kind of drawn in people that are interested in engaging in the light and in love and in exploration, exploring spirituality. So welcome. If you've been here for a while, thanks for hanging out with me. My God, do we have a lot of information coming at us at all times. So the fact that you want to hang with me and really connect with me doing solo episodes and with these really cool guests we're having on, it means a lot. And I'm happy you're here. And if you've been hanging with me for a while, I don't know that I have any repeat people as guests this season. I don't think so, except for one. I have one who I just, there is something about her. There's something about us all, right, guys? But I just was like, she has to be a part of season three. And she agreed, and she's back. And I just adore her, and I adore what she's offering and putting out in the world, because she has a true balance of really deep energy and exploration. And then she also couples that with a lot of just fun and light as well. So it's just this yin and yang of connection that I love about her. And you guys will know her. First of all, if you haven't heard her first episode, go and listen to it. Someone commented, they were like, "We love her, but Erica, you're so annoying and you're interrupting her every other second." And I was just like, "Oh shit." And I like listened back. I'm like, you know what? I was just excited to connect with her. I don't know if I was interrupting, but if I was, I'm really sorry, and I'm just going to shut up now. So this is my friend Alex. She is also known as the High Priestess of Brooklyn, which I love. That's her handle. And by the way, I know we're going to do this at the end, but go and follow her like quickly, because her Instagram is so fun and so engaging. She is an incredible astrologer, right? Is that what you would call astrologer? She is an emerging medium, which we're going to talk about. She has such awesome, cool offerings on her website. And she is here to talk about 2022, some energy with some celebrities that we know, possibly some really interesting information. I'm not going to call it predictions, but I'm going to call information about 2022 and what's to come, and maybe some cool information about that she's seen about specific signs this year. So Alex, welcome. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me back. I'm honored to be a repeat guest, and I'm a Gemini, so I feel like two times is always the charm.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Or four.
Yeah.
You know, or eight. Just kidding. You're, I like, mean, hopefully
every season.
Business for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I'll come back every season.
How do Geminis and Scorps get along?
You know, yes, but I have a Scorpio moon, and you have the, you know, many, many placements in Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of why we get along really well. What I notice about people is that whatever their moon sign is, they tend to collect people with that sign, that sun sign. It's like a kindred spirit. It's like you kind of know deep down, your moon sign is like who you are really deep down energetically. And I think there's just this compadre. What do they say? Simpatico?
Yeah, simpatico. That's really cool. Simpatico. Like, because I'm Scorpio, yeah, and I'm Scorpio rising, and I'm like, all of my planets are in Scorpio, and like everything I have is in Scorpio.
You're like, yeah, you have a lot. And so I collect Scorpios. My brother, my sister, that, you know, that I didn't really have anything to do with necessarily, but then like a ton of friends, my sister-in-law, my niece, I mean, literally, you name it.
Oh my gosh. Hundreds. I don't really know a lot of Scorpios. Them. I think because Scorpios
intensity
can be evil. Scorpios can be very evil. Mm-hmm. Like when I meet someone that's a Scorpio, I'm like, huh, really? Okay. Let's see.
Everybody kind of does that. You know, people do that for Geminis too. So I think there's a simpatico that we have where people just kind of like hate on these signs.
Yes.
A little bit. So we have that in common, and we're just misunderstood.
I think Scorpio is the best sign. I love being a Scorpio.
I do too.
It's kind of like,
sorry to every other sign.
Yeah. It's kind of like when I meet another Erica, I'm kind of like, hey, how are you? Oh, hello, Erica. I'm like, why does she have my name?
See each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's super cool. I also think like the pop astrology that's gotten people into astrology, it's the funny memes and things like that where people, you know, like to mess around and talk shit about certain signs. And that's all well and good. But honestly, none of the signs are bad. And none of the signs are all good either. It's all neutral, and it kind of depends on the personality of the person who's embodying these signs to like operate in the best possible scenario or the worst possible scenario. And sometimes in the same day or in the same moment, you know, like we're always expressing different aspects of our personality. So It's so interesting. Astrology just gives us greater empathy for one another.
Totally.
Hopefully, if you're using it
that yeah, way. Right. If you're using it for the greater good. Has there been any like signs, and maybe this is too broad, but have there been any information about signs so far in 2022 or coming in 2022 that really popped for you so far? You're like, okay, this sign is really having a moment, or what do you see?
Yeah, so what's interesting about this year is that we have the eclipses happening on the Taurus and Scorpio axis. That happened, yeah. So it's funny that we already started talking about Scorpios, but it's a good transition. So that axis started to be illuminated by these eclipses in November of 2021. So if you think back to like November 19th-ish, that was when the lunar eclipse happened in Scorpio season, and it kicked off this eclipse season or where the eclipses are going to be running on this axis until 2023. So this year is all about, you know, Taurus and Scorpio are totally highlighted. So whether that's your sun, your moon, your rising, there is a lot of energy of transformation. Which is cool.
So cool.
Are you feeling that already?
Oh my gosh, yes. My whole world is transforming. And what's funny is that November 18th is my birthday. And my course, just literally what you're saying, I'm just going back to make sure I'm saying the exact date. Okay, so my birthday is on November 18th and my course launched on November 18th. So November 19th is like when I saw everyone starting to sign up for the course and everything. So that makes so much sense. Yes.
Yes. That is, it's beautiful. You know, people, eclipses get kind of this pop astrology, like clickbaity kind of terror that people like to do on Mercury retrograde as well. So people will say like, don't time anything for the eclipses. Or the thing about eclipses is that it swings open the door for destiny. And so things can happen really fast. And I think for a Scorpio like you, you're cool with that. You're like, okay, transformation's kind of my bag. Like, bring it on. Let's time it for the eclipse. You didn't necessarily know that, but that's what happened. And many people are fearful of quick and rapid transformation or change. So that's where I think the fear comes in. And again, the fear is something that we as humans put onto events that are going to happen anyway. So it's like we can choose to incite fear or take that on or go with it and allow things to rapidly unfold for us. So that's how the eclipses can be. And I don't know when this episode will come out, but the eclipses are being highlighted right now.
Okay, so I was going to say, so when are the next big transformation times for Taurus and Scorpio?
Yes, so we have April 30th, which is the new moon, which is a solar eclipse in Taurus.
Okay.
And I just wrote about this.
April 30th.
So I'm just pulling it up.
Ooh, I'm throwing a bachelorette dinner on that night.
Oh, well, that'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting dinner.
It will.
I mean, is there anything that you would like big things that you would like to happen?
Yeah, I mean, not at that. I hope everyone has a lot of fun at that dinner. Like, that's my little sister is getting married and we're throwing her a really special bachelorette dinner.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah. So okay. I hope it's a great, great night. But yes, things are definitely transitioning and transforming during this time in my life. So that's really amazing, you know, that you're saying that. It's like, I definitely feel that. And I mean, November 18th was my birthday, and that's when I launched my course. Like, it's
kicked
wild.
Kicked it off.
Yeah, it's wild.
So, and then the lunar eclipse is happening on May 16th. So that's the full moon. It would be normally a full moon, but it's a lunar eclipse, we call it.
Oh, cool.
So for everyone listening, you know, like Erica's going back and looking what happened around November 19th. That is a good clue to the story that's going to unfold for this eclipse season, no matter what your sign.
Cool. I'm all, yes.
It's super cool.
Yes, that sounds good.
I met like a very important client that like that day or maybe the day after, and she's now a long-term client and we work together for her business, which is like super cool. So, and she's a Taurus and I have a Scorpio moon, so.
That's awesome.
A lot of synergy.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. I noticed also that you're offering, speaking of business, magical business advisory. And I would love for you to tell us about this. Our segues are so good. They're so good in this episode.
It's happening very organically, huh? Totally. That's what happens when you just show up and you're available and you know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so pumped. So I remember on our first episode, I like kind of assumed that you had been in the corporate world. I was like, you know, simpatico. And you were like, no, that wasn't my experience at all. That part made me laugh a lot when I listened again. But I do have all this corporate experience. And what I had done is ran really far away from it to do High Priestess of Brooklyn, which is tarot, astrology, you know, really helping people guide or being a guide for people on their path, on crossroads moments. You know, 2020 was obviously a really big year for a lot of people to figure out, what do I want to do? What is my life's purpose? So really glad that I was able to run into that guide work. But what I realized is that I kind of left a lot of that 10-year career behind. And I was like, welp, that chapter's over. I'm not going to use any of that experience ever again. And I'm just going to like pretend like it, not pretend like it never happened, but like reinvent myself. And what I realized is that a lot of that experience was really valuable for people. And I started to call in entrepreneurial clients who either owned their own business or wanted to, or, you know, were very high powered in their careers. And a lot of the conversations were about career. And then they were so much more powerful because all this other information, you know how it is, it's our own cognition that the guidance is coming through. So then I would be like, and they're like, oh my God, this is like branding stuff. This is communication stuff. Then I looked into business birth charts and things like that and really started to think, wow, I actually think this could be something. So it was about 6 months or so that I was testing with my friends and who became clients, and then launched it in March. And it's been really great so far. So honestly, I haven't had to do much. It's been organic. All of the people who have come forward were clients who own their own businesses and or friends. So I knew them and I was able to help them. So we do all sorts of things. My clients are in a position where they need realignment in their business. They want to tackle certain things like growing their team from 7 to 15 people. That's double. You know, thinking about what is our mission statement? How do we hire? What is our ethos of the company? You can see a lot of that astrologically, and it helps to tap in energetically to set that foundation for you to just go and kind of run with it and to not necessarily second guess, because there's a lot of comparison in the world of business and the world of being a human. And so you look to your peers on the side of you. Well, you have a very clear energetic set point that you don't need to deviate from. You don't need to look to the side. You can cheer them on, but you don't need to take their strategy. And if they took yours, it would be unauthentic mm-hmm. to them as well. So it helps founders really kind of put the direction in their business, because we have messy minds. You know, we're running things and we're like, oh, wait, I got to do this. I got to do Instagram. I got to do that. Some businesses shouldn't do social media. And some businesses should lean so far in that direction that they don't ever think about brick and mortar, or they don't ever think about working with, you know, long-term clients. So it just really depends. And that's long story short, that's what we
No,
do.
That's so cool. And do you use cards for that, or are you using astrological charts, everything? You're kind of going in and just getting information and getting advice and right with everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm. With everything. Yeah. And then the previous experience comes in, because I know you need a mission statement. You need core clients, your ideal clients. And a lot of these things are manifestation tactics, to be honest, that I don't think people realize. You know, if I'm putting out a job description, that's a manifestation tactic.
Yeah.
So instead of just slapping something together, let me like actually think about the archetype that's going to be helpful on my team and call that person in. So just helping founders kind of get really intentional and thoughtful about how they're working and how they're leading. And yeah, whatever we need to use, we use. A lot of times we're not using anything. We're just talking and kind of consulting, but
that's amazing.
It's really
fun. I noticed you had that. And you know what's cool too is a lot of people that listen to this podcast have their own business, or they're like, I work in the corporate world and I also have a side business doing nutritional consulting or writing, or you know, and they want to know how to expand that part of their business. And so I think this will be really, really attractive to those people as well that are looking to kind of expand what they really want to do.
I love that. Yeah, my business started like a side hustle and I was just itchy. Mm-hmm. Like I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. Like my dad owns his own business. My grandfather started it. I don't take well to authority. And it's just a recipe to working for yourself.
Yeah,
I
was laughing because you're like, yeah, did you come for the corporate world? I'm like, oh my God, I can't have a boss. Are you kidding? I'm a terrible employee. I don't know. In the corporate world? No, I'm a horrible employee. No.
I don't know that would be true.
No, I really am.
What would you do if you did?
If I had to choose to do something else? Hair and makeup.
Oh, you're fabulous at that.
I love, like, I have an alter ego that I started developing when I was 6, and I used to set up like a beauty salon and do my sister's hair, and her name is Joni.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Joni. Yeah. Yeah, Joni. No, but I love doing hair and makeup. Yeah. But I mean, I have no desire to do that, just so you know. But if I had an alter ego, that's what she would do.
Sure. Well, some of my best friends, like one of my best friends in the world is a hairstylist and she's a colorist and she is an artist. Mm-hmm. And I feel as if artists and people who do what we do, we're all really similar in energetics. Mm-hmm. Like we're very creative. Mm-hmm. We're obviously tapped into something much larger than us. And it's a similar, look, hairstylists, makeup artists, they're therapists too.
Oh, totally. But I'd love to do it like on sets. You know what I mean? Like do it like on sets, you know, like the women that walk around on set, they have the bag and they're like, hey, and they get to wear all the cool clothes and just like be behind the scenes. I don't know. That's like what came to my mind. I think I'd like to do a lot of things. I'd love to have like all different kinds of stuff. But the only other thing like that would really draw me would be like doing makeup. I love playing with colors and all that stuff. But I'm really, really happy I'm not a makeup artist. I'm really happy doing what I'm doing.
I know.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting to think about the different choices that you make in your life and the timelines that sort of open up and are available to you based on those situations and those choices. It's just fascinating because I'm sure in a parallel life you are.
Maybe. But I mean, I definitely didn't choose to be a medium. I'll tell you that. I definitely did not choose to do this work. This was emerging. I mean, I started tapping into mediumship when I was 7. So this was like a past life continuation life, you know, calling, but, and thank God, right? Thank God. So speaking of that, our transitions, oh God, we're so good. They're so pretty.
Honestly, oh, pat on the back. You're doing
you too.
Job.
Like you're just, we're right. For the next 20 minutes.
You know, I used to have a podcast.
Yeah. The next 20 minutes, we're it. Like, we're so good. Yeah. No, you're so good. Yeah.
I like really
So the transition was that Alex has told me that as she's doing doing sessions, that there is that mediumship is emerging. So we were talking about mediumship and something that didn't choose me. I mean, that I didn't choose. It chose me. And Alex was saying that she feels like there's mediumship emerging for her. And she wanted to talk about that. And I'm totally down. And then I want to ask you about Elizabeth Holmes. That's going to be a terrible transition, by the way.
We'll see if we can get there. Yeah, exactly. I bet you there's some thread that will make sense.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to get your advice, and I'm sure everybody listening too, because what started to happen was in my tarot sessions, you know how I should back up. Before I get started, I'm tapping into that person's energy and their guide system before the session even begins. So it's something like, you know, I would like Erica Gabriel's guides and guardians and loved ones to step forward, meet my guides, guardians, and loved ones, and our higher selves will connect in the session, give this person whatever they need for their highest and best good. Something to that effect. Things usually come in during that part of the session, but then we open it up, we connect. And what started to emerge, and I know that this happens for you, is some guides really wanted their message to be connected to what was coming through, or they wanted to be connected to their message, if that made sense. So it started to happen, you know, where I just was like, okay, there's a grandfather-like figure that comes forward with this type of message, and he's wearing all blue and things like that, that I have more clear cognition. So I don't really see these things. They just come through my cognition, and sometimes there's audience there too. And people would just start crying, like, oh my God, I have my grandpa's sweater. It's blue. It's on my chair. I always wear it when I'm creating. Just this crazy stuff started to happen. And I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, let's work with this. So it happens, I would say, pretty much every session someone is coming through, especially if someone who I'm reading for would really like that information or like to know or need that validation, of course. And but it doesn't happen for everyone. Sometimes it's just universal guidance, and it is dependent on where that person is and what they're ready to hear, is what I'm noticing. And so it's developed a lot over time. Sometimes we're getting causal guides. Sometimes we're getting, you know, guides that aren't connected to their lineage at all, but are connected to whatever project they're working on or something that they do. So it's been really interesting. And, you know, we'll have to ask my clients, but I'm pretty sure people are really appreciative of that information. So that's, I think, with the goal and the intention of having it be for their highest and best, means that whatever comes forward in that session is supposed to happen. And it's been really, really cool.
That's awesome. And it's also cool because, that's amazing. And, you know, as you continue to just develop and go along, how long have you been doing readings?
I've been doing readings for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
There were unofficial years. And then I officially started High Priestess of Brooklyn when I felt ready to do that, which was October of 2019.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, like, are you going to be a different kind of, you know, astrologer, medium and reader in 6 years from now? Probably. Right. So it's really cool because it means that things grow and change over time. You know, it's, you're not going to be the same that you're going to be in 5 years. You know, things grow and shift and change. And that's really cool. And that you're open to that, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, as you feel too, as long as you're in that intention space where you just want the best for the people that you're in service of, then it will naturally evolve if that's what's supposed to happen. And the people, what I've also noticed is that a lot of guides are very pushy because this person that maybe is sitting with me is in touch with their higher selves, or maybe they're not, or maybe they believe that that person is dead and gone and you know, they had a hard relationship in this life. And so they've kind of blocked off being open or available to that guidance, or even thinking that that person would care to come back. And what's been cool to see is just kind of, and this happened for me too, just the ability to repair a relationship after the person's gone. I mean, fit in the physical plane.
Absolutely.
Does that happen a lot for you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, for me, like, you know, loved ones and ancestors aren't guides at all. You know, they're still their loved ones. Their spirit guides are totally different. Mm-hmm. So much of my practice was...
Same.
Yeah. I mean, so much of the practice, especially if you're opening up more, is like you really, really want to know what an angel feels like. You really, really want to know what a guide feels like. You really want to know when it's like someone's loved one come through, you know, so that you can be the conductor and you're like, no, hold on. And I want to talk to this person and, you know, or wait. And especially if you're getting people that are, you know, pushy and stuff, you just want to make sure that you're, you know, really in charge. So, but I think that's so cool. Yeah. And that's so special that your guides are getting to experience that, your clients are getting to experience that, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I like what you said about being the conductor mm-hmm. and being, directing the session for the person who's sitting and for them to get the information that they need. Yeah, because I wanted to ask you this too. Have you noticed that when someone wants to connect with someone very, very badly, that person will come through right away? Or how do you notice that sort of intent from the user that's very, very strong? Well, 'cause I imagine that would be common for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do emergency readings. So that's really right. Great. I don't do emergency readings because that can be the person's will just overpowers the reading so intensely. And what's great yeah. is like I read for someone today. When did she book? I don't know. Last summer, I think. And she was like, I wanted a reading so bad. And like now today, I see why it was today because I really, really, this was the time that I needed it. So I feel like, you know, your guides will prompt you to get a reading at the perfect right time. So if your guides know, okay, I have a year wait, they'll prompt you right in the perfect time for you to get the reading when you should. So yeah, so I think that kind of intensity, those emergency readings can really sway a reading. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, if someone is really hoping to hear from someone, they do come through. If they're open to that, right? Every once in a while, yeah, I mean, it's sad. It's only happened a few times, and I still remember every single person it happened to. It's not a lot. Yeah. I've been reading for 15 years, you know, for thousands of people all over the world, and I still remember, you know, the small handful of people that felt really sad. But it's kind of like, I don't control spirit and they don't control spirit either, you know, and sometimes, you know, certain people don't come through. And I wouldn't even say sometimes, it is a tiny, tiny percentage, maybe a small handful, you know, that you won't hear from someone that you're hoping to hear from. I think also too, sometimes the person comes in and says like, okay, if they don't say, you know, purple flowers in the wind, that this isn't this. And, you know, so they almost close the door to that person, right? That person may not be able to communicate purple flowers. They may be communicating in a completely different way, you know, but yes, I mean, I rarely get someone that's really hoping to hear from someone and then I just feel nothing. It's just so, so rare, you know?
That's great. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying that a few different times that you do not do emergency readings. Mm-hmm. And I would tend to, it's so hard because I have a few clients that I just love so dearly. And when they're in kind of a predicament, I want to be available to them. And now I'll do emergency like only for regular clients. That was a big lesson that I learned. I was like massively burned by someone who was a referral who came through an emergency, and it was contentious to say the least. It was really hard, and it was just, you know, what this work feels good when it feels in flow and easy, and I get a lot of energy from the work that I do, and this was like super depleting, and you know all the things. So I just learned my lesson.
Yeah, it's hard. And I like anyone who feels called to have a reading with me, like I love them so much. It's such a beautiful thing. So it's not a cold thing. It's like, that's what spirit has told me. And that's what I trust so much. You know, the spirit has told me, just stay the course, one reading at a time when the time comes up. So I don't know. Maybe that'll change in the future. I don't know. You know, who knows?
Doubt it. That's a pretty hard boundary. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. But things change.
It's important to have these boundaries.
Yeah. And spirit changes and things change and shift and alter. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's rare that someone doesn't show up. But sometimes people will get that vibration, like, she didn't say purple flowers. So everything else you say, they're like, but you didn't say purple flowers. It's like, oh my gosh, this is 45 minutes of powerful, you know, evidentiary mediumship. You got to let the purple flowers go, you know. So there's all kinds of things that can happen. But, you know, sometimes when people don't get what they're looking for in this specific way, it's like this surrender and this connection, and they're still learning so much, you know, from the reading. Yeah. But, you know, listen, you're loved ones and everyone's loved ones, they love you so much. If you're trying to make that connection, they want to come and make sure you're okay. They're okay, but they want to make sure you're okay. So your loved ones are going to come, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love, this is partly with your course, right? Just teaching people to connect in on their own.
Yeah.
And not necessarily need you or any guide.
Yeah.
Which is so powerful.
Yeah. Do it on your own. How do you ground down and listen to your own intuitive voice? And how do you meet your spirit guide? You know, it answers a lot of questions. Building that muscle.
Yeah.
Awkward transition. Elizabeth Holmes.
Well, you know what? I was going to say, speaking of emergencies, Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, so we should have deferred to you on our transition.
I was thinking the whole time, like, oh, what could be? I wish she had come for an emergency reading. Honestly, I would have said, you're unethical and you should step down from your business.
And you're attached to a psycho.
Could have, would have, should have.
You're, yeah.
Yeah.
So
what,
yeah,
a crazy,
yeah, you were saying you did a chart on Elizabeth Holmes and also WeWork, which I don't even know about. So let's start with Elizabeth Holmes. And if you guys don't know, she is the Theranos person. She dropped out of Yale and was developing massive medical testing with one single drop of blood, which is amazing. I mean, that's amazing. But she ended up not being able to do it and stealing millions and millions of dollars. And it was a mess, a disaster.
Such a disaster. Elizabeth Holmes, The Dropout is the amazing, you know, fictionalized, scripted Amanda Seyfried vehicle, which has been incredible on Hulu. I loved it. But yes, Elizabeth Holmes, I did her birth chart, and she has these signatures, which are incredibly revolutionary, like a lot of Aquarius placements and a lot of like her South Node, which is kind of what you come in from past lives having worked on, is like incredibly revolutionary stuff. Like the need, the insatiable need to disrupt and innovate. And a lot of that for a founder is great because it means that you're going to push through boundaries. And when it gets hard, you just, you know, you figure out another way and you're, you have a lot of ingenuity and figuring things out. Now, she just went into the wrong industry, okay? So going into the medical or science-based industry, trying to disrupt it, is like unethical. So that's where we have this disconnect, where she had this great idea. It's a great idea, I agree. But she also had people saying, like, this will never work, and you're not a scientist or a chemist, and you didn't even finish Stanford. So you literally don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Stanford.
About.
I think I said Yale. Sorry. Yeah, Stanford. Yeah, that's right. That's
another right. Ivy. I mean, it's a, yeah. I'm just so yeah. close to it, but so I'm yeah. definitely biased.
All tastes like
the,
chicken.
The thing is like, yeah, you know, she didn't finish. Yeah. So ultimately, you know, she doesn't have the degree. and you can basically see that, okay, this intense desire really fueled her. But when it's not checked by ethics or a moral compass or even, you know, just creating a community around you, which will check you and you'll listen to them, that's unbridled, you know, destructive energy. Because it's at what cost? You know, and the human lives were not appealing to her. It's funny because they kind of paint her in this show, and I'm not sure this is unfounded, but they kind of paint her like she's a little sociopathic or has Asperger's. Like she's like, I don't really feel things the way there's a few different pieces in the script that I thought were really interesting. I don't know that there's any foundation to that, but it would make sense. But it would also make sense just given her chart. Like if I saw that, I would say, you got to have a group of people around you that's not just an echo chamber that's going to challenge this unbridled enthusiasm for innovation, because it must be there must be bumpers around it. And she really didn't. You know, she had unlimited cash. She had tons of founders. She charmed the pants off these people that gave her all, you know, billions of dollars. So it's
wild.
Just. Yeah. And then you see, you know, the unbridled enthusiasm for innovation with like WeWork, and like in the real estate space, that's okay.
Wait, what
like,
happened
you're not,
with
you're probably
WeWork?
Not going to like.
What happened?
So WeWork
so people know,
is.
And me, because I don't know.
So WeWork is a co-working space. Mm-hmm. It started in New York City, and it grew to be a global business. Basically, the co-founders met. They both had a history with communes, a kibbutz, which was Adam Newman's experience. And then Miguel Galvi was also raised by, like, I think, like, six moms or something like that. So they had this idea to have, like, a communal workspace, which was brilliant. And it worked. And it worked really well. And it kept growing. And they kept getting more funding. And they needed more funding. And it was just mismanaged from a financial standpoint. They were over-evaluated at a time when, you know, and this was, like, 2017, 2018, like SoftBank gave them like $47 billion, like just crazy money being thrown around, because what they had plans to do is open up, okay, if this communal workspace works, then let's open up to communal living, communal education, communal, you name it. They had like We Grow, which was his wife's idea for education with no background in education. So basically, it's like these Icarus stories, you know, where people like get this really inflated ego and they fly very close to the sun and get burned. And
It's fascinating. What happened to them?
So Adam and Rebecca, well, Adam mainly was unseated as CEO of WeWork. Due to mismanagement, they filed their S-1 to go public, and it was just like a complete laughing stock, and the board ousted him. He was also burning cash. Like, I think they were burning like 50 million a week at one point.
Yikes.
Yeah. And a lot of that was personal funding as well. Like, they lived, you know, extremely lavishly as Adam and Rebecca, the co-founders, the husband and wife. So it was like a very poor management of money, but a good idea, you know, like a good – the company's still in existence today. It just has a different CEO because Adam kind of, you know, again, flew too close.
Are they going to jail? Do they have to go to jail? Like, did they
– No, they don't have to go to
jail. Is Elizabeth Holmes going to go to jail?
Well – she just got convicted,
oh,
right?
Oh, she did? Okay, I don't
but
know.
She's awaiting sentencing,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, my God.
She got convicted of, like, those white-collar crimes, you know, like wire fraud. So probably not.
Right, right.
If she were to go, it would be for, like, those, you know, 1 to 2 months kind of, like, little
buffer things, yeah.
To say we slapped you on the wrist kind of thing. I don't think she's going to jail for a long time.
It's interesting. I've been watching a lot of these documentaries. I watched the one about Anna in New York or whatever, that lady.
Oh, yes. Inventing Anna.
Inventing Anna, and I watched the Bad Vegan one, which was crazy.
Fascinating.
Bad Vegan? Oh, my God.
I know.
I saw – wait, you'll laugh at this. I saw this TikTok, and it was this girl impersonating Anna. And he was like – this guy was filming her in, like, Whole Foods. And he's like, hey, what time – are you getting plain bagels? She goes, ew, I'm not getting plain bagels. I'm not going to have plain bagels. He's like – she goes, I'm not Paul. I'm not having plain bagels. And then he goes, what kind of bagels are you getting? She goes – I'm getting everything bagels. I'm not poor. I'm not getting plain bagels. It was this TikTok of like someone imitating
the accent.
The weird acting accent, the nondescript accent. It was wild. But yeah, those stories are really wild. And I'm sure you see from an astrological standpoint is like someone has, you know, they have amazing energy, amazing ideas. They're revolutionary. They're doing all these things. And it just, it breaks them down. It just, without it tempered. Even the documentary I saw on Kanye West, it was like, he is amazing. Look what he's done. Wow. You know, and you could see his mom.
Genius.
Yeah. His mom like held him down and would just always brought him down. She said, like, what does a lion and a king see in the mirror? She said, nothing. You know, it's like, don't think that you look like this big thing. And she really kept him grounded. And then he just lost his way. And it seems that, you know, like you're saying astrologically with like Elizabeth Holmes and the WeWork people, it's like they have these amazing charts, but it can burn you, you know, if you go too far, just like you were saying. It's really interesting.
Totally. Yeah. And the, you know, what struck me about the Bad Vegan story was how many people, and this is, I'm sure you see this with clients too, are living in a space where they are really, you know, generous or open as an empath, as she was, and you're very open and susceptible to also very negative energy to come in as well. So it just felt like there was a boundary thing missing with her, which allowed her to be in this position. Of course, she got taken advantage of. I really do believe that. But and a lot of people would look at that and say, oh, you know, really, are we going to feel bad for her? And it's like, I do. I feel empathy for another empath who got, you know, kind of taken advantage of. And the sliding door moment of Alec Baldwin. I thought that was super interesting. I could basically see that that timeline also had a lot of weight. And she self-sabotaged and chose not to go down it.
Yes.
I thought that was fascinating. Yes. Like, how many times do we self-sabotage and say, no, 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 that's not for me. That couldn't possibly be. I couldn't possibly have that life. I don't deserve that at XYZ, et cetera. And they could be together.
Totally.
They could be having
seven children.
Yes.
You guys, if you haven't seen this Bad Vegan, you guys, you will. It's wild. It is a wild ride. But it's so interesting you're talking about that, about like light and dark and empaths. That's why, like, I always talk about my boundaries. I have such intense boundaries because you can just run away with it all. And like, I read for the sweetest woman not too long ago. She was just lovely and empathic, and she was actually a very powerful healer, but she was living in a motel in Vegas. She had gotten all her money taken by mean ex-boyfriend. She had nothing. She had, I mean, she had been used and abused because she was so empathic and so nice and trying to help people, you know, and without any boundaries or strength or confidence, you know. So it's tough. I see that with a lot of light workers too. It's like they have so much light and positivity to share, and people are like moth to the flame. They're like, ooh, I feel really sad and dark, and you've got enough light for us both. I'm going to run towards you, you know, and they end up getting burned.
100%. Totally. Do you see the narcissistic, to the narcissist and the empath? What I worked on with my partner in the podcast before this, and right before we ended our podcast, was twin flames and the connection between narcissistic behavior and empathic behavior, and how really twin flames is that toxicity. Just repackaged in this, like, you know, kind of new age spiritual way. And so I think a lot of people think that that is supposed to be the case. I'm empathic. I should be drawing somebody in that is this or that or the other thing. And really, when you break it down, that can be very narcissistic tendencies. I've definitely been in, you know, people, I won't name any names, but I've definitely been around very narcissistic people, especially in the corporate world, and been, you know, used and abused. It's probably another reason why I, like, don't ever want to work for anybody else. But, like, it happens all over the place, and it's – I really feel for those who are working through that, because it takes time, but it's so important to establish for your own life to take it hold the way that it's supposed to. You do not, it's not your job to fix everyone.
I love that. And I think for people, like, give yourself grace, you know, be nice to yourself. If you have, you know, been with someone that wasn't nice to you, don't keep on then beating yourself up over it. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Give yourself grace. But I also see some people, it's like they have a lot of healing to do and a lot of personal issues, we all do, and instead of working on themselves, they're like, I'll just fix this person instead so I don't have to think about my own path, which is like, again, no judgment.
Yes.
Boy, have I done that. Oh my gosh, I have totally done that. So this is not a judgmental thing, you know, at all. But especially, you know, people that are, you know, sensitive, maybe have lower self-confidence sometimes, you know, in our gifts. And then, you know, we think, okay, yeah, I'll just ignore that and help you instead, you know. But I'm sure a lot of that can come up in everyone's chart too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of empathic placements, and I think even psychic placements, which is kind of interesting. And you see that some people could have this gift sort of turn on, and then coupled in the session, a lot of times I'll see, you know, this is, seems to be turning on for you. What is this? What's happening? And a lot of times people, I think that's actually happening a lot this year with a lot of the energy. Jupiter and Neptune just joined up. And Neptune is like the planet that is responsible for the highest of frequencies and our connection to everything and the universe and the law of one and all of those concepts. And Jupiter expands everything it touches in a benefic way. And so what I noticed is a lot of people are experiencing this transit in an expansion. It can also be an expansion of delusions. So not only the positive things, but also delusional behavior and delusional thoughts and things like that. And I noticed when Neptune was just at 22 degrees, which is a critical degree, if that was working with anybody's placements in their chart, if they were 22 degrees in any of the water placements, or if there was a sextile going on, I noticed that people were having like this psychic, it was like a psychic transit. And it was confirmed. It was confirmed in my clients. But then when I put it out there on TikTok, I think, and then Instagram, people were like, yes, this is what's happening to me. I'm having these dreams. It's super crazy when you see, you know, from an intuitive astrology standpoint, like, I'm pretty sure this is what's happening. And let me put it out there and see if people are going to respond. And people do. It's pretty cool to see that confirmed, you know, and to see people waking up to their gifts. It's like so exciting.
Yes.
So
yes.
Exciting.
Yes, that is amazing. And like, and I love hearing you how that, like, you're feeling that, you know, you're like totally tapping yes. into mediumship, which is a beautiful thing. And how blessed are your clients that that's all, you know, happening in this really cool way, you know, and you're so amazing with astrology. You've been doing it 6 years. Like, it's so awesome. And that's so grounded and established. And then as you're going along, you're connecting with people's loved ones. And it's so cool. It's awesome.
It's
awesome. I love it. I need to do a session with you. And I hope every single person listening will do a session with you as well. Because when you read my chart, it was so powerful and it rang so, so true. So I just think your sessions are amazing. I think you're amazing. I love your balance and energy because you are so grounded, yet you are so able to elevate energy and really transform thought. And it's just such a cool thing to be with you. So I'm really hoping everyone will follow you. It's at what? Give me all your info so everyone knows.
Sure. And thank you, Erica. And also, I would love to do an MBA session with you. So let's book that.
Wait, I'm serious. A magical business advisory?
I want to see.
Yeah. Oh, I just got
you. I
want
to see what's going on with your business.
Oh, I am so excited. When can we do that?
Like, what are you doing on Friday?
Yeah, I can do it on Friday. That's my one day off.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm dead serious. Wait, this is...
Great. I'm going to...
you guys, I'm doing
DM
it.
DM you.
I'm doing it. I'm so excited. This is so exciting. You know what?
I'm pumped.
I'm going to...
And it's easy because I already have your chart.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to take notes also so that when this episode comes out and people hear it, I can then let them know some of the things that came up in the session, like on Instagram. So after you guys, when you're listening to this, go on my Instagram because I'm going to do a video about what comes up and how the session went and how she unfolds the session. For anyone, I know a lot of people out there that are starting their businesses and far along on their businesses. So I'm so excited. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Honored.
Yeah. This is awesome. So tell us all the things, how everyone can get in touch with you and connect with you and book a session.
Sure. So I'm High Priestess of Brooklyn. That's on Instagram, all spelled out. And that's my website as well. And then on TikTok, I shortened it a little bit for the kids. It's High Priestess BK.
You're like, I'm going to be youthful.
Just, you know, I got to keep, yeah, Gen Z. They love to abbreve. I love to abbreve, actually.
Did you just say abbreve?
It's funny because we're about
to. Did you say abbreve?
Yeah. Okay. An abbreviation. Can you believe it?
I'm going to start you. That was good. That was good. You're keeping me young. You're keeping me young. A brief.
I don't even know if this is cool or not, Erica. Like, I tell you it's cool with me, but like, I don't think I'm speaking for a generation.
I'm definitely not cool. I know I'm not.
I'm
cool.
A voice of a generation, not the voice. It's funny because we're about to go look at apartments in Queens. And I'm like, oh my God, do I have to like change my name?
No.
I'm not. High Priestess of Queens has a cool ring to it as well. It's just,
Yeah, no, or you know. Queen of Queens. You could maybe because you're elevating your gifts that were always there and you're continuing. Maybe now you're in a new status. Maybe you're not a priestess and maybe you transferred into your queen status.
Oh, my Ooh. God, baby.
I got chills.
Or maybe we keep it the same and forget the rebrand.
Well, you would know. You would know what's good. You would, I don't know.
Well, you know how this is. When you read for so many other people and you do this work for so many other people, you kind of are like, wait, I think I need a reading from someone else. Like, it's hard sometimes, right? Do you feel that
Absolutely.
Too?
And that's like, that is literally the definition of my course. How do I build the foundation and the ability to know what's what in my own inner voice? It's really challenging. Look, it's simple, but it's hard. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. Same thing for me. I totally get that. And I've tried to go to mediums and no, I've only had one medium ever be able to read for me. They can't read for me. Mm-mm. No.
Do you think that's it's something really weird. Like your guides are like, no?
I have no idea. And like several mediums that I've been to is just, they've asked me then just, they're like, can you just read for me? I can't.
Oh my God.
I know. It's really weird. It's a weird thing.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. One person, and I'm going to tell you who it is when we get off, because they don't like to be on okay. anything, or you know, they're kind of private. But I'll tell you who it was.
Wow,
you guys can't.
I mean, it's a cool claim to fame. Also, I feel like there's also a part of this is boundaries, like you know, famous people. I think. Was talking about this with an intuitive friend of mine. Like, imagine the name Elizabeth Holmes, for instance. It's in so many other people's mouths all the time, right? Especially in a kind of in a negative fashion. Imagine what that must feel like for her. Like, maybe she has crazy boundaries up to not feel any of that, or not maybe not feel anything.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's wild.
So you are kind of famous. And so maybe it's like your guides are like, we kind of don't want any weird peeking going on.
You know, well, one, you're very sweet. I don't think I'm famous, but you're very sweet. And that's so nice to say. But I think that my guides are just like, you know. Just like trust. I think it's an element of trust yeah. and belief. And I think that may be it. I mean, I've had beautiful connections with people that said lovely things, but I've never had a medium tap into, except for once, anyone on the other side. And I talk to them all the time, the people that I have on the other side.
So they're like, there's nothing else to talk yeah. about. It's like calling somebody after you've been talking for yeah. an hour. It's like, what else do you want to say?
I know. And maybe like, I think about like, maybe they're just waiting for that one person that they actually want to work with. Maybe they're like, no, I don't like them. Like sometimes I have someone come through and they're just like, oh, I like you. You're good. Like you're doing a good job. Like they're like, oh, we like this chick. She's like, she's nice. She's cool. And sometimes they're just like, oh God, like why did my like daughter see a medium? And like, they'll literally tell me, they'll say, how much did she pay for this? How like people in spirit, they'll be like, how much did you pay for this? And they're like, tell her you should be saving your money. You shouldn't have paid for this. And you know, and I'm like laughing. I'm like, she doesn't like me very much, that's but incredible. Here's what she's saying. You know, it's so funny. And the person's like, oh, my God, yeah. That's so my mom. I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay. It doesn't offend me. You know, it's all good.
Oh, yeah. My
God. Oh, my gosh. I have that. So many stories. Thousands. You know, it's wild.
Have you ever thought about a book?
Yes, I wrote a book. I just did. I never published.
Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed.
I didn't publish it. Wait, is it out? No.
Oh
no,
my
no.
God. I'm like, holy shit. She has a book out.
Oh my God.
No. This asshole who said, you should write a book. I wrote a book, Alex. it's out already.
No. It's not out. I have a book. It needs work. And I totally abandon it. And but I am picking it up again, and I have a wonderful, incredible friend who's a fantastic writer. I'm not really a writer, but we've worked on it together because I mean, he's recorded me saying things and whatever. We have this amazing book, but it's now my turn to really focus on it. But I have a really, really cool book. So maybe I'll get it out before 2023. That's kind of a goal. So we'll see.
I would love to read it.
I'll send you a copy.
Eyes on it.
I'll send you a copy.
And I can help you time it as well. Yeah. That's part of this MBA thing. You know, we can also look at, okay, here are the transits you'd want to maybe work with. Here's what to avoid. It may not be energetically aligned to release it before 2023, you know? Like,
that's really interesting.
So you're so tapped in that you're not necessarily looking at the chart, but we could also validate kind of, okay, this was the time to focus on the podcast, or this was the time to, you know, procrastinate or just do the work that you're already doing and feel good and confident in that, the course, all that. Yeah. So
yeah,
I already see the book doing really well. Oh, so
that's so cool. Thank
I'm just
you.
Excited.
Thank yeah. you so much. I can't wait to talk to you again soon. And I can't wait to share with everyone what came up or what's going to come up on Friday. I'm really excited. And everyone who's listened to this podcast already loves you so much. And I know there's a lot of new friends on here. So go on and check out High Priestess of Brooklyn. And if you're TikTok, it's High Priestess of BK, which I love. And check out, she has so many different offerings as well on her website. And I know for me, getting my chart done by Alex was so magical and so beautiful. Go back and listen to our first episode as well and make sure you connect with her, you guys, really.